So as David writes these words, he was one who knew all about the highs and lows of life. Even as a young child, he experienced being a poor shepherd boy, but also a national hero as he defeats Goliath. David was one who knew about the pitfalls as an adult, the experience with Bathsheba we talked about last week, one of the low points of his life, but then also the wondrous happenings that were taking place in Israel, prospering beyond anything they had ever known as a nation. David knew about the highs and the lows of life. All of the experiences of his life had taught him that God was with him in all the experiences that he endured. But now David finds himself sitting all alone in the wilderness with his life seemingly in utter chaos. Can you imagine how David must have felt at this moment? He is running for his life from his own son who wants to kill him. He has other tragedies that are happening. In fact, pain is not escaping him in the future. In the following weeks and months to come, David's army will regain strength. They will fight again with Absalom. He will defeat Absalom's army, but in the process, Absalom, his son, will be killed. But in this moment, David writes as a heartbroken parent. He is writing as one whose own child has turned against him in a radical, vengeful manner. David is at one of the lowest points of his life. So what does David write about in Psalm 143? What is his message? David asks many things of the Lord in these 12 verses. He asks for God to listen to him and to answer him quickly, not to wait too long. Maybe you've been there. You need an answer from God and you want God to respond quickly. That's where David was. He asked God to answer him quickly, not to wait too long. David pleads with God to show him the way that he should go. He feels lost. He needs God to make the pathway ahead of him straight and clear. He's asking God, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Maybe you've been there as well. David goes on to ask God to teach him to do God's will. He knows what he wants in his life, but he says, God, I need you to show me your will and teach me your ways. All of these requests come to God as a brokenhearted parent writing in the depths of despair. But above all these things, one thought has become very clear to David. Through the highs and lows of life, he has been reminded that his purpose in life is to be the servant of the Lord. Regardless of what's happening in his life, David is reminded in this moment that the purpose and mission of his life is to be the servant of the Lord. At the very end, after all of these requests, as David pours his heart out to God, here's what he says: all of these things I ask, Lord, remembering what? That I am your servant. In the good times and also in the difficult times, that one thought continued to give David a sense of purpose and mission and meaning in his life. He was the servant of the Lord. That's who he was. He was God's servant. You know, maybe you have sat where David sat. Maybe you've experienced some of the feelings that David was experiencing as he wrote these words. This morning, if you sit there, I invite you to remember, it is often true in our lives that when we get down and discouraged, that we are able once again to prioritize those things that are most important. You see, sometimes in life we have to lose something in order to remember what's really important. In the worst of times, often the purpose of our life becomes much clearer. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember the encounter, the dialogue, the conversation she has with the angel when in Luke chapter 1, the angel comes to her to tell her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. While it's great news for humanity, it was devastatingly frightening news for this young woman. She received news that as an engaged woman, she would soon become pregnant, and her fiancé would learn that he was not the father. It was difficult news to hear. She had to be frightened beyond belief, but somehow that news clarified her mission and purpose in life. As she struggled through all of the feelings that were going on inside of her with this news from the angel, do you remember how the conversation ended? She says to the angel, "How can this happen? How will it be?" And the angel explains to her, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. This will be God's doing. You don't need to worry about how it will happen." And in response, Mary says, Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." In other words, in this time of turmoil and chaos in her life, her mission and purpose became very clear. Outside and beyond everything else in my life, what's most important is I am the servant of the Lord. Maybe you've had a terrible experience happen in your life. And in the moment, it was devastating, it was difficult, it was heartbreaking, it was traumatic. But later, you were able to look back on that experience and to realize that God took that experience in your life and clarified who you are and what you're about and used you and that experience for greater good. That often happens in the spiritual journey. When something crucial in our lives is lost, we often find that something new and precious that is much needed is found or is given to us in our greatest time of need. When that happens, we find that we grow and we become a new person because in that crisis, during that difficulty, we have changed. God has used it to help us become a new person. It was in the midst of a crisis, tragic situation in David's life that he was reminded of who he was. He was the servant of the Lord. Remember what Doyle read earlier for us in the service. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Those who love their life will lose it. And those who lose their life in this world, or those who hate their life in this world, will keep it for all eternity." You know, the truth is, we don't often want to hear those words. We don't often want to hear Jesus saying, "Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life will keep it for all eternity." We don't want to hear that. But what he's talking about is this: who comes first in your life? Who or what is most important for you? For you see, when we get things out of line, when the things of the world or the things that are prioritized for us become more important than becoming a servant of the Lord, that's when we end up losing life. But when we give our lives, we find abundant and eternal life. Sometimes we try too hard to protect and save and hold on to the wrong things in life. I read that in the days when the Tsar ruled Russia, the leader took a walk around his palace garden, and he found that in the far corner of the garden, there was a guard standing there, seemingly guarding nothing. He went over and asked the guard, he said, "Why are you here? What are you guarding?" The guard said, "I'm not sure. My commander told me to come and stand post here." Well, still being curious, the Tsar then went and asked the commander, "Why do you have a guard standing in the corner of the garden like that?" And the commander said, "I don't know. That's just what we've always done." Well, the Tsar, still being curious, did some research, and he learned that 100 years earlier, when Catherine the Great had ruled Russia, she had planted a rose bush in the corner of the garden. And she had instructed the commander to place a guard there to watch over her rose bush. But the problem was, the rose bush had died many, many years earlier. And even when it was alive, she didn't need a guardian standing tall and strong trying to offer protection. What she needed was a gardener, a servant, who would bend and stoop and help the plant to grow. Sometimes in our lives, we work too hard trying to save and protect things that ultimately are not all that important. But guarding something that doesn't need to be guarded is exactly getting our life out of line with what God wants us to do. We are called to give our lives away as servants, not to protect or to shelter. Mark was an 11-year-old orphan. He lived with his aunt, who was a bitter woman. She was greatly annoyed with the burden of caring for her dead sister's son. She never failed to tell Mark that if it wasn't for her generosity, then he would be a vagrant, homeless. But still, with all the scolding at home, Mark was a sweet and gentle child. Mark's school teacher really hadn't noticed him all that much until he began staying after class, helping her straighten up the room at the end of the day. They did their work quietly, not speaking much. But when they did talk, Mark, who was soft-spoken, spoke about his mother. Though he was very young when she died, he remembered her as a kind and loving woman who always spent much time with him. Well, that fall, as Christmas was drawing near, Mark didn't stay after school and help the teacher any longer. One day, the teacher stopped him in the line at school, and she asked him, she said, "Well, Mark, why are you not staying any longer?" She said, "I really miss you helping me straighten up the room after school." And with his large gray eyes looking at her, he said, "Really? You miss me?" She said, "Yes." She said, "You have been my best helper all year long." And he said, "Well, I've been making a surprise for you. It's for Christmas." But with that, he became embarrassed, and he dashed out of the room. Well, finally, the last day of school came before Christmas, and Mark crept slowly back into the room, and he had his hands behind his back, and he said to the teacher, "I have a present for you," very timidly. "I hope you like it." He held out his hands, and there lying in his small palms was a tiny little wooden box. He gave it to her, and she said, "Oh, it's beautiful, Mark. Thank you." "Is there something inside it?" she asked as she opened the top of the little box. "Oh, yes, it's full," he said. "But you can't see what's inside it. You can't really touch it. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. But Mother always said that it makes you feel good all the time. It keeps you warm on cold nights. It keeps you safe when you're all alone." And the teacher gazed into that empty box, and she said, "Well, what is it, Mark? What is it?" "It's love," he said. "And Mother always said, it's best when you give it away." And he quietly left the room. We're called simply to give love away. Not because we get something in return, not because we want something of value, but because that's who we are. We are servants of the Lord. Charles Poole, a minister, has written, "Must we love God for something? Or might we love God for nothing? Can we actually come to the place in our lives where we love God with utter abandon, no matter what, no strings attached, unconditionally?" "Yes, we can," he said. "And when we are at our best, we do." You see, when we are at our best, we love God for one reason and one reason only: because we are servants of the Lord. In fact, it is when we love God and serve God unconditionally, seeking nothing in return, that we are most like God. For that is the way God loves us. It is then that we say with our lives, "I am serving the Lord, not because I hope to be blessed by what I do, not because I think there's something in this for me, not because I expect that God will help me if I serve Him in this way. No, I am serving God because that's who I am. I am the servant of the Lord. That's who I was created to be. That's what God wants the mission and purpose of my life to be. No matter what happens in my life, through the highs and lows, the good and the bad, I am the servant of the Lord. You see, as David sits by himself in the wilderness, as he writes these words in Psalm 143, he has one question and one question only for us. Do you love God this way? Do you love God because you are a servant of the Lord? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are so grateful that we continue to learn from David through the highs and the lows of his life, through the experiences he had of your love and your goodness and your grace, from the words that he writes and leaves to us that help us know how to live today. Lord, today we are grateful that you remind us that there is nothing more important in all of our lives than to love you and love others unconditionally, simply because we are your servants. So Lord, lead us and guide us in these ways and help us as we seek to serve you, trust you, and love you. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.